Your grandfather, then, Richard Lloyd Jones, he knew how to drum up circulation. He sponsored beauty pageants because the Tulsa World was already in operation.
Yeah, the Tulsa World was actually both younger and older than the Tribune, because the Tribune's roots go back to 1905 with the Democrat. Tulsa World came in, I think, a little after statehood. But the name of the Tribune didn't come on until 1920. So in that respect, its ancestry was older, but the name was newer.
He was pretty active. He maybe attacked city officials, accused him of corruption and weak law enforcement. He was a real populist sort of guy. And that increased circulation. You were the afternoon newspaper, publishing every day but Sunday, or did you
publish Sunday too?
Oh, you did. But you dropped Sunday, didn't you?
Dropped Sunday when they went into the joint operating agreement in 1941.
Your grandfather, though, was an interesting guy, because in his writing, he would have these Saturday sermonettes, and he became famous for those, I believe. He was a friend of presidents, Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson.
He was a very close friend of Alf Landon. We named our son Landon. It was just a name we picked out of the blue. But when I interviewed Alf Landon and told him that, he sent me a picture of himself with my grandfather.
I thought this was interesting. Once your grandfather was criticized for being a conservative, he said, "I would conserve the humanism of Lincoln. I would conserve the steamboat, the telephone, the radio. I would conserve justice. I would conserve democracy, out of which freedom comes. In conserving these, we progress."
Well, he was a great Lincoln follower. He purchased the Lincoln Birthplace to set it aside as a national monument. He represented a group of young men that ponied up the money together for it. He gave Gilcrease Museum a live mask of Lincoln's hands and face, which are on display in the Americana exhibit at Gilcrease right now. This is, of course, 2011. He was just a tremendous fan of Lincoln.
Richard Lloyd Jones, your grandfather, died at the age of 90 in 1963.
Right.
You remember details of that?
It was a pretty well-attended funeral. I was finishing my tour in Washington when he died, so I wasn't there in the last weeks. I had come down to see him maybe 2 months before. Yes, it was a big funeral.
Your grandmother and her name?
It was Georgia Hayden. She was a pretty extraordinary woman. I think she had an IQ of about 160. She was totally legible with either hand. She played golf left-handed at a time when women didn't play golf. I was lucky because I inherited her left-handed clubs, so I played with wooden shafts and ladies' clubs until they started making men's left-handed clubs. But she was a college graduate. She was national president of Kappa Kappa Gamma. She was a teacher. She was a leader in women's suffrage, in Planned Parenthood, a lot of issues, some of them fairly controversial.
We should mention that your uncle then, Richard Lloyd Jones Jr., served with distinction in aviation, and he served in the Tulsa Municipal Airport Authority and the Board of McDonnell Douglas for decades.
Right. I think he was chairman of the authority, and then he was very active in the move to get American Airlines maintenance base to Tulsa. He and my dad both became pilots after the war on the GI Bill. Both of them had gone into World War II overage, past draft age, and they had the kinds of jobs that would have made them secure from being drafted or anything. But they both went in as naval officers. Dick served as a gun captain on a merchant ship. My dad was on a CVE, which, in other words, a baby flat top aircraft carrier, in on the battles of Iwo Jima and Okinawa. They were always proud of the fact that they went, as Dad said, in harm's way, even though neither of them considered themselves heroes. They were just among the other 12 million people who went off to war.
You remember stories that they may have told from war days?
I know. My dad, the Japanese kamikazes off Okinawa were targeting carriers in particular. One of them made a run at their carrier, and a CVE was not an armored ship. Basically, they were old freighters that they just sawed the top off and put a flight deck and an island on, and you could put 25 or 30 planes on them. But there was one Japanese kamikaze that made a run at them and would have hit them and probably blown the ship to pieces. But one of their scout planes, the last possible second, shot him down just maybe a quarter of a mile away. That was a harrowing experience. I think the worst thing for my dad was an avid walker. And for 91 days, he was confined to the flight deck of a small carrier. So when he finally got ashore in Guam, he took a long walk into a coconut grove, and when he came out, an MP saw him, and he said, "I wouldn't go in that grove if I were you, sir. There are Jap snipers in there."
Any other war remembrances that either one of them might have brought back?
Only my dad's remembrance of the end of the war. He and the ship's doctor had taken a walk up into the hills. They were in Pearl after the Okinawa campaign, refitting to go in on the invasion of Kyushu, which was to be the first of the Japanese islands to be invaded. And, of course, the atomic bomb had been dropped. Dad and the ship's doctor were walking up in the hills where you could overlook Pearl Harbor, and all of a sudden a very flare went up, and then another one went up, and then every very flare the sailors could get hold of went up in the air, and Dad just turned to the doctor and said, "The war's over," because those sailors were going to shoot off everything they could.